isn't he? He really is. And this morning, I just enjoy God's presence. It's so good to be in his house. It's so good to just to touch him, isn't it? I mean, all through our week, I don't know about you, but there's something different about God's house than anywhere I am all week long. It's a place where I can come. It's a place where I can touch him. It's a place where I can begin to just have that time of fellowship as part of his body. And it makes such a difference. This morning, I'm going to be talking about encountering God. And I'm going to start off with a verse. It's a different kind of verse. It's in Psalms. I like this psalm. And it starts out and it says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. For thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with the marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." Listen, there's something about that Psalms I love, because it really talks about pursuing God, about thirsting for God. There's something about that we've been on Wednesday nights, which we're going to be doing the next three Wednesday nights. We've been talking about hearing God, and part of this message is a foundation that is really the beginning of hearing God, the beginning of experiencing and encountering God, and it has a lot to do with the church and what it does. We're going to look at today three different areas that we touch in church, three different areas that will be a foundation for you hearing God. And when I say hearing God, I'll just give a quick side note for ones who haven't been on some of those messages. Hearing God is about perceiving him. God expresses himself to us. How many here have had a time when you've been down and all of a sudden you read your Bible and there's a verse in there and all of a sudden you can feel God? And you can feel him, he's helping you. You can feel his answer, you can feel his comfort. There's times, there's all ways we can hear him, but all of these are really tied together. And here's something I want to start off with, is that all of these ways, these three ways, are in the heavens. How many know God's plan is it to be on earth as it is in heaven, right? Why? Because heaven works. This earth is broken. Amen? And he sent his son, and then when he taught him to pray, he said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Why? Because in heaven, isn't it amazing, in heaven there'll be no sickness? I hate sickness. I hate dying too, don't you? I'm not looking forward to my own. I hate it. I hate being part of it. I hate the whole consequence of sin on this earth is awful. You know what? That consequence isn't in heaven. In heaven, in fact, we have a new body where we don't get sick. We don't have to sleep. There's no Weight Watchers. Praise God. I don't like them either, really. There's no, in fact, we eat at the feast. It talks about the supper. We eat, but we don't have to worry about that. Man, that's amazing. We don't have to worry about parting. When someone passes away, the hardest part about them passing away, even when they're a Christian, is that there's a break in fellowship. I'll see them again. I've got some grandmas who are in heaven, and I'll see them again, but I kind of miss them until I do. But when we're up there, we'll never be departed again. I'll never have to say goodbye to my friends. Won't that be amazing? You know, even when us moving from here to there, it's hard to say goodbye to some people. But up there, we don't have to. We'll be together. And so, these are established in heavens. I want to talk about something just a little bit different light. In heaven, I'm going to talk about the three archangels to start with. And you're like, "Well, this is a weird message." Yes, it is. But I want us to give us a perspective, and a little bit different perspective. In the Bible, it talks about three archangels by name. You have Gabriel, and you have Michael, and you have Lucifer. Those are the only three archangels that you find. And when it talks about them in the Scripture, it really talks about those three, and you can even divide them up because it talks about Lucifer, who is Satan, that when he fell from heaven, that a third of the heavenly hosts fell with him. And so what it is that there's three archangels. How many know God's a God of order? He always has been. And God has order in heaven. He had the three archangels, and a third of them fell with Lucifer. And honestly, for me, that's kind of good news. That means for every time I deal with some spirit fighting me, that means I got two on my side. And then when Jesus steps in, they're dead meat. Amen? So each were a third. Gabriel, here's the difference that each one had. Gabriel was known as a messenger of God. Gabriel brought God's word. When he came to Mary, he brought God's word. Every time you see Gabriel in there, he's bringing God's word to his people. The word of God. When it comes to Michael, Michael was an answer to prayer in Daniel. When he began to pray, who came to fight? Michael. He come. So prayer, the word of God and prayer. And Lucifer was really God's worship leader. Glenn's knowing what okay, I'll be good. He was God's worship leader. He led worship in heaven. And here's a couple verses that kind of talk about Lucifer. I mean, pretty amazing. Isaiah 14 and verse 11, it says, "For your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your string instruments." And it goes on. And then I want to look down at Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. It says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." This is talking about Lucifer. It says, "The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, and the emerald with gold, your workmanship of your timbrels and pipes, you were prepared for you on the day you were created, and you were anointed cherubim who covers. I established you, and you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. And by abundance of your trading, you have become filled with violence within, and you sinned, and therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God." The way Satan was made, or Lucifer, pretty interesting. I want to a side note here. It talks about how he had strings. It talks about how he had timbrels, and it talked about how he had pipes. Those cover the three main music instrument groups, by the way. And here's another interesting note, and I think this was part of his problem. Timbrels is a root word for tambourine. I think that was his problem. I think that was part of his issue. I can't prove it biblically, but I just have a feeling. The tambourine can get you in trouble. But what really happened with him in that day is it talks about that verse 16. It said, "Because of your trading, you were filled with violence and you sinned." What trading is like if I was a store clerk and I sold a jacket for $200, I would keep $100 for myself and give $100 to my boss. He began to try to profit off of the worship of God. He began to see the glory of God that was worshiping the angels before God, and he began to see the things before God begin to worship, and he began to say, "Well, I want part of that. I want that." And really, that's really was his sin, wasn't it? Is I want to be like God. I want to be as God. And he was cast out. So that's just kind of a little side note to know. But these three main areas are in heaven. God established for a reason in heaven. And there are three key things when it comes to us encountering God. If we want to experience God, these three things are major. If we want to hear God, these three things are major. When we come together as a church, this is why we have worship. This is why we have the word. This is why we have prayer. Why? Because it's mirroring heaven. Amen? So, honor the first one is we encounter God through the word. In John 5 and verse 24, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall come into and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from life into death. Listen, there's something about the word of God. There's something about the word of God, and the word of God can be hearing him or this written word, but I'm telling you, there's something about the word of God that brings life. There is no book throughout history that can change lives the way that these scriptures are able to. Amen? A psychology book won't do it, but his words are our life. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's talking about his word, and again in here, but it says, if we abide in his word. And that word abide means that we live in that word, that we submit to that word. It's that place where we begin to say, God, I'm going to stay in your word. I'm going to stay in your word. Listen, there's something about it, and I'm going to start with the scripture, because too many times what happens is that so many people try to serve Jesus without knowing their Bible. And what happens is that they really begin to serve a Jesus of their imagination instead of a Jesus of truth. And I want to explain that for a minute. Because what happens is God can speak to you, he can show you things, but this is the starting block. It is a starting place. And in here, the more you begin to, in fact, it tells us what, to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's what happens. As I study God's word, as I read his word, what happens is that when I have time with God, me and him have something to talk about. I want to get that. Have you ever tried to talk to a third grader about how to, Caleb? Have you ever talked to a third grader about how to overhaul a motor? Maybe. He might have tried with Elsa. Here's the thing. Without something in you of truth to talk to, he doesn't have much to talk to you about. Without something of truth in you. Listen, there is something different. Here's what, when I first got saved, I knew a couple verses, because I've been in church and I had done all the memory verses, I think was a big part of it. And when he would talk to me about faith or about trust or about love, I would know a couple things. But what's happened is that through the years and going by the way, in high school, I hated doing reports. I hated doing book reports. I've done book reports for 25 years now, every week. And now I love it. But I love it not because of the work. I love it because now when God talks to me about trust or love, there's not one verse, there's 25 verses. There's not one thing. All of a sudden, he begins to bring something else, and I go, whoa, there's the life of God again in me. Man, there's a truth in me. Listen, if you want to know God and you want to encounter God, you want to hear God, get in your word. Listen, he'll speak to you while you're reading it. He'll speak to you. There'll be a time where God brings you through several truths, and all of a sudden one day he'll talk to you and he'll bring all those truths together, and you'll be beside yourself thinking, this is amazing who God really is. It'll bring you life. It'll bring you strength. Amen? All right. Now, the second way we encounter God is through prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen, a lot of times we do this, we say, well, we're to pray always because we walk with God. I want us to look at prayer a little bit, because somewhere, if you're in God's word, you should be encountering God. Amen? If you're in his word and not encountering God, something's missed. If you're in his word and not encountering him, you're missing something. If you're in prayer and you're praying and you're not encountering God in prayer, something's missing. You're just talking to yourself. You ever have days like that? I have. I want to explain a little bit about prayer. Here's one of the best verses I've ever seen on prayer. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Listen, that verse there, when you break that down, what it's talking about, those who wait on the Lord, is really talking about those who have this relationship with God. That word wait means to braid or to twine. And so what it is that I am before God, and I am becoming one with God. This is prayer. Prayer is not, "God, lay me down to sleep." That's just kind of a saying sometimes. But prayer is when I step into that place and I say, "Lord," and I step into that, it's me and Him. And as I intertwine with Him, as I wait on Him, listen, this is something real that we need to understand, is that every one of us are called to have a relationship with God and encounter God in prayer. Every one of us. And sometimes there's those things that, "Well, I just pray here and I pray." No, I'm telling you, there's somewhere when you pray, you should expect to encounter God. And that deal about waiting means to braid or intertwine. It means it'll take a little bit of time sometimes. You know, it's okay to pray on the go, but I'm telling you, there's times where somewhere you got to stop in the middle of things and say, I am going to become one with Him, and I'm going to begin to get in this place of waiting upon God until God comes. And if we don't get there, we won't encounter Him. Sometimes our prayers are just good ideas, but they should intertwine. And here's how you know: they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew in the original does not mean that He makes new. What it means He exchanges. So there's a great exchange that happens. As I begin to intertwine with Christ, as I begin to be in that place with Him and begin to worship Him and begin to spend that time in His presence, and I begin to have that fellowship with Him, all of a sudden, I exchange my weakness for His strength. All of a sudden, I exchange my lack of understanding for His understanding. Do you see how this fits into hearing God? I go from hearing myself, I exchange that to hearing Him. Oh, I don't know about you, but I hate it when I'm looking to God for an answer and all I hear is myself. Why? Because myself ain't the answer. And there's times, and some of you is like, "Well, I don't know." I'm telling you, that I hate it when I'm in that place. Because somewhere I need to hear Him. And how does that come? As I wait on the Lord and get in His presence, I stop hearing myself and I start hearing Him. There's an exchange. I trade my feelings for His faith. Amen on that one. How do you live above your feelings? Get in that place of prayer and begin to have that great exchange and begin to see what happens. Listen, in our lives, I want us to just understand this as we go on this point. Ask yourself that question: am I encountering God? Am I encountering Him in prayer? Am I touching Him in that place? Listen, I don't know about you, but there's something about it that as believers, He calls us into that place to touch Him. He calls us in that place to touch Him. And it does not come just by someone else praying for you at times. Amen? I'm talking when you're by yourself, are you stepping into that place and saying, "God, I want more of You. Help me. Help me. Take my weakness. I need Your strength. Take my fear. I need Your faith. Take my bad attitude and give me joy. You know, take my excuses and give me a testimony." You know, take my sorriness and turn it into joy. This is encountering God. Understand, these are the ways of God, and these ways of God are established not by men, but they were established in heaven. We do them, but we only do them because they work, because they were established before we were. Amen? The second one is prayer. In His Word, in prayer. And the last one is we encounter God in worship. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual act of worship. One thing I'll say about the act of worship, if you notice, worship and sacrifice are kind of in the same verse. It's not because God hasn't made a mistake, it's because he knows what he's talking about. It's an act of worship. It's not the emotion of worship. Too many times what happens is, it's like, well, and I'll tell you what, as far as being sick, I've been sick. I was so sick the other day, I thought I wasn't going to make it for a while. And I'm doing better today. But here's the thing. It will go, and I will go on. Amen? That don't change who I am. It doesn't change that God doesn't fall off the throne because I got sick. He doesn't have to stop heaven because I've gotten sick. He continues. And there's a place that if I want to touch God and encounter God, there is a spiritual act of worship where we begin to, I will step into that place and worship him. Why? Because he's worthy. I don't care how I feel today. I don't care what I've done. I don't care if I haven't earned my way. I'm still going to worship him because he's worthy. He died for me. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my healer. He's my God. And we begin to worship him for who he is. I'm telling you, there's a place of worship that we have to get into that gets past how we feel. Past, and you can say, well, we're not emotional. I'm telling you, as Americans, we are some of the most emotionally driven people in the world. In the world. When I hear stuff about missionaries and things they're doing in different countries, it makes me feel like such a wuss. It really does. When I see people who are battling for every inch, people who are fighting over just a page or two of the Bible, people who are risking their life just to meet together and worship God and serve him, and then I have a hard time doing anything because I don't feel like it, or I feel a little off, or somebody played out a beat. Oh, my word. Sometimes we're such babies in Christ. We are. You know how many instruments we need to worship? None. You know how much of your will you need to worship? Yours. I don't need anyone else to worship. I can worship him because he's worthy. It's an act of worship. Now, I love it when everybody has the same will to worship because it makes it easier. Amen? When everybody comes, they're like, hey, man, I want to go to church and worship today. It's exciting. It's my will. And that deal Sandra even did today about raising her hands. I'll go ahead and do it. A lot of people do it. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get caught up on things. Don't get caught up on things. You know, I'll give you a little something to think about. If you're ever scared to raise your hands or worship God in public, do it in private. You know where I start raising my hand? It is in private. I was worried too many people were watching me. Some people think I'd be fake or phony. But there's something happened when I got in there. It was just me and God, and I began to worship him, and I began to lift my hands, and I began to feel the presence of God come. I began to get over things in my life. Listen, there's somewhere where even the understand, I'm not judging the expression of worship, but the problem is that too many people judge themselves and their expression of worship instead of just trusting God and stepping out and doing it. King David was a mighty man of God, and he was known as a man after God's own heart. And when they brought God's presence back into the children of Israel, when they brought his presence back into the city, he danced before the ark. And he danced the way a fool would dance. Why? Because there was a part of him that he chose to worship. I don't know about you, but I've listened to some of those Jewish instruments, how they play. That ain't dancing music. Some of their horns, I'd be like, well, where's the guitar and a drum? You know, let's get something a little bit better. But he was dancing and throwing himself around so much his wife said, you look like an idiot. By the way, she was cursed. Why? Because she was mocking something that David was doing out of his heart before God. And David said, you think that was bad? Just wait till next time. He's my God. And I have no shame in worshiping him. Listen, there's sometimes where we got to get past that deal. There's sometimes, listen, that thing about worship is a real deal because the enemy plays with people so much on it. And I've had times where I come in and I don't feel like worshiping nothing, Glenn. I feel irritated, and I'm the preacher. You say, and that was one of our days where God really moved, too, by the way. That's crazy how he works. But you know what happens a lot of times? I got to get a hold of myself. Here's what God has done is he's given us ability with Christ in us to overcome all things, amen? And there is somewhere at times when I get in that place, I'll just stop and I'll begin to pray. And maybe it's one of those days where something is off or something, whatever, but I just begin to say, Lord, help me get past my flesh. Help me get past my emotions because I need you today. We need you today. God, help me to step into worship. Help me to get out of this stinking rut that I've been in and get set where I'm supposed to be. You know what happens? That's all it takes. And you can say, is it that easy? It wasn't to start with. Because at the beginning, my flesh ran my life to such a degree that my feelings kept me beat up and it took me half a service to get over it. Now it only takes me a couple minutes. Why? Because it's like anything else. You begin to develop strength in God in that area and you become an overcomer. When it comes to stepping into worship, I can worship to bluegrass music. I can worship to Southern gospel, which is a little harder for me. I can worship for for so many different styles. I went to, well, the tambourine's harder to worship to, but I can do it. Listen, here's the truth. I don't really like tambourines, but if all we had was a tambourine, it wouldn't stop me from worshiping God. Because it ain't about the stupid tambourine. It's about the one who pulled me out of darkness to save my life, and I'm no longer going to hell, but I'm his child. And it's not hard to worship the one who gave you everything and is now continuing to give you everything. How do you not worship? See, but here there's a place where you got to start building your strength into it, and you got to start dealing with it. That whole thing about sickness Glenn was talking about, there's a place where you have to learn to overcome things. And if you don't overcome things, things will overcome you. Every person in this place has a cycle in your life. And I'm going to tie this to what we're doing, by the way. I'm not getting too far off a rabbit trail. Every person in this room has a cycle. Some people get depressed every holiday. That's your pattern. Some people go through times of great joy and excitement and then times of gloom and doom every 3 to 4 months. Some have it week to week up and down. Some have it to where the wife is on fire and the husband is being a toad, and some have it where the husband's on fire and the wife is being an anchor. It sounds a little better than toad. An anchor. Amen, Pastor. This is going good. Keep preaching. How do you become an overcomer? Instead of letting that thing rule you, you begin to rule it. See, these things are founded in heaven, but just because they're founded in heaven doesn't mean you step into them except you make a conscious will that I will get in my word and I will encounter God. I will seek him out and I will find God. Then you'll find him. And when you get in that place of prayer, I will be in his presence. I will push into God. I will walk into God until I do find him. And when I find him, I will be in that place and I will be renewed the same way an eagle is. I'll have strength that I've never had before. And I will worship no matter what happens. See, Paul developed this skill. That's how he could sing in the jail. Some of you wouldn't have sung if they'd have beat you and left you half naked in a dungeon. Paul did. Why? Because Paul was sitting there with Silas and he's like, hey, you know what, Silas? Even though I just got my consciousness back and I can barely see straight yet, he's still worthy. Did you? And he's like, well, yeah, he is. And they begin to sing, worthy is, I believe, just begin to sing, worthy is the Lamb. Maybe that's where that was created. But they begin to sing, hey, they begin to sing praises. Why? Because they knew how to encounter God in the darkest, deepest spots, and they had been through the place where they had beaten their emotion. Amen? But it only comes as you make a decision for it to come. Listen, this is a part of the message that hasn't been on here, but it is a more real part of the message. We can encounter God in all these ways at any time we want to, but we have to make a decision. am I going to do it or not? When I have a bad day at work, am I going to get in my word and I seek God? Am I going to spend time in prayer and seek God? Am I going to be able to worship God? When I don't get my way, when I'm sick, I hate sickness. I really do. Can I still worship Him? When my plans fail, can I still worship Him? See, here's the amazing thing is that somewhere we've got to get quick. So many times when we're doing good, how many here want to hear God better than you've heard Him? See your hands. This is where it begins. Too many people are like, well, I want to hear God now. This is my first good day in 3 months, but I want to hear Him today. And God's like, hey, let's start off with the beginning. Seek me first. Encounter me first. Here's what I found. I don't have a hard time hearing God when I'm in His Word. I don't. And when I'm in His Word, a lot of times, I'm not just preparing for another message. Sometimes I'm just in His Word because His Word is life to me. And so I'm in His Word. And when I'm in prayer, sometimes I'm not in prayer because I think I need to fight all the demons of this world or arm wrestle Satan. I'm in prayer because somewhere I like being in His presence. And I'm like, God, I love being a doorkeeper in Your house. And when I'm in that place of worship, I like that place of worship because out of all my day, when I look around, the only thing I see worthy of worshiping is Him. God, You're worthy. I fail, people fail, everybody's failed, but You don't fail. You're worthy. And it's something about that when I make the conscious effort to do that, I do not have a hard time hearing Him. Why? Because what is in heaven is in heaven. Do you think people have a hard time hearing God in heaven? I don't. I don't think He has to yell because there'll be millions of people. I don't think He's got to yell. And He doesn't need a PV speaker. I think His voice will be like many waters. We'll hear Him just fine. I think it'll be amazing, honestly. But here's why. Because in heaven, His ways are established. The word, prayer, and worship are established in heaven. We do them here on earth. And here's what happens. When we begin to do what God has, then God's there. Doesn't that make sense? When I begin to walk in His ways, Paul talked about walking in heavenly places. He wasn't talking about leaving His body. He's talking about, I'm walking in heavenly places with God. In fact, me and God today are walking in this place called prayer. Me and God today are walking in this place called worship, and it's a heavenly place. And in this place, I'm seated with Him, and I look down at problems. I'm not trying to wrestle them one-on-one. Listen, so many times we wrestle everything because we don't know how to walk with them. And there's something about when you're in that place and you can hear Him, it changes everything. You know, in worship today, some things going on up north, there's been some hiccups and some plans, and there's some people having some issues who are building that building. and you know what? I just begin to talk to God and begin to have some time and just be in His presence. And after a while, I could hear Him, and He was laughing. He's like, it's all right because I'm in charge. You know, everybody thinks they're in charge. I'm God. I'm doing this, not that I'm doing it. And when it's done, people are going to know that it's not built by a man, it's built by me. You know, that gives me such great hope. That gives me faith. Listen, in our lives, if we want to hear Him better, step in these places. Make an effort. And I'm telling you, it takes an act of your will because they don't just come naturally. No one picks up their Bible and just starts reading and reading and reading. Well, some people do. I don't. People like me don't. I'll say it that way. I'm like Caleb. Caleb was sitting at home the other day, and he was telling me, he's like, getting tired of watching TV. He said, yeah. He said, if I was a person who liked to read books, it'd been a great day. He said, but I don't like to read books. He said, I'm getting bored sitting here. I tell you what, I don't read a whole lot of books. I'll read a little bit here, a little there. But I've had to get to the place in his word to say, I'm going to read your word. I'm making an effort today to read your word. Your word's life to me. I'm going to read it. And what happens is as I begin to read it, the more and more I begin to read it, the more and more I need it. The more and more it's part of me. It's not so hard to do. The deal about prayer. You know what? It's hard to pray. I mean, when we first got saved, we used to go to a prayer meeting before chapel sometimes at our Bible college. And after you're there like 3 minutes, you're like, I've prayed everything I could possibly pray. And now, I'm trying to stay awake. and you meet every once in a while at those prayer meetings, you hear somebody snoring at an altar. Someone go over and jab. Oh, sorry. Fell asleep. Anybody ever have that issue? Yeah, it's easier as time goes on to have that issue. But to really get in this and begin to say, God, teach me to pray. Listen, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. God, teach me how to worship. Show me how to worship. Get me in that place. I don't care who I am. I don't care what I think. Teach me how to worship. Teach me how to get in that place where I begin to praise you and worship you for who you are. Teach me to get past my emotions. That will change us in ways that we won't even understand. Amen? Let's all stand today. As we get ready to close, even today, I know we're a little short, but I wanted to be short on purpose, and not because it's the Super Bowl, by the way. There ain't a good team in there right now, anyways. But here's the thing. Is that what we're talking about today? Start asking God about it. And ask yourself those questions. Am I really encountering God when I pick up the word? Or am I just serving a Jesus of my own imagination? Am I encountering God when I pray? Or am I just praying some kind of religious thing? And am I really encountering God in worship? Or is my worship based on how I feel that day? Listen, these are real questions, but I'm telling you, there's something where as a lot of ones begin to desire to want to hear him better, this is where it starts and how I live with him. It's not hard to hear my Father when I walk with him every day. Amen? But it's hard to hear him when I only visit him in the right moments when I have time or feel like it. But when I'm right there before the throne, it's not so hard.
I just want to add a little something to what Damon said, and I want to say up front that this is not intended to be condemnation, okay? I just want you to hear this. For some people, especially if you haven't been here very long, you can listen to Damon or Glenn say, well, I spend time in prayer even when I don't feel like it, or I spend time in the Word even when I don't feel like it. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, you're a full-time pastor. Of course you do. Do you realize that Damon works two other jobs? Do you realize he gets up at 4:30 in the morning every day to work? Glenn works outside jobs. So I'm telling you, if you get done at 5 o'clock and go home and you don't feel like reading the word or worshiping, they know exactly how you feel. And so does the Father. So just give it a minute and think, God has blessed me with every wonderful, beautiful thing. He gave Lucifer every jewel for his robes. He gave Lucifer a high position. But Lucifer went with his emotions. And he said, I want to feel that worship that God's getting. So for me, I need to remind myself, I sure don't want to be like that and put how I feel before what I need and what God wants, which is just a little of my time, just a little. So I encourage you, don't think that just because you're tired, God can't speak directly to you and encourage you and make you feel better. He's the only one who can when we're worn out and exhausted or sick and exhausted. He is the one who can lift you up. So give him that little bit of time to do it.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you just begin to speak to our hearts, not just our minds. Begin to show us what path you have for us. Begin to help us to hear you so much better. Begin to help us to push past things. And even though so many are sick this day, this is a good day because you're God. And Lord, I pray that you just begin to exhort one throughout the week, Lord God, about your word, about prayer, and about worship. God, teach us the truth of these things. Lead us into truth. Help us to abide in you. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' holy name. Amen.